Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
Well, happy Halloween. A quick call here to Phoenix, Arizona area. How are you today, Lynn?
Good. How are you? Sorry, I'm a little under the weather, but I'm here.
All right. Well, Lynn Moran, of course, is founder and leader of Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. Her background includes rising through the ranks for the Mars Corporation, the famous candy empire, to become president of Ethel M. Chocolates, and now she's on her own helping other companies focus on business and performance. Our topic today is creating a legacy, right, Lynn?
Correct. Sorry. So we've been talking a lot. It's hard to believe a year's gone by.
A year, exactly.
I mean, at least we're getting close. So one of the topics that, you know, we've really focused a lot on this year is performance of the individual, going into performance appraisals, you know, working on yourself, becoming more self-aware, more effective. And it really all leads to one place, and that one place is your legacy. What it is that you want to leave as a message to people, whether you're going to be, you know, someplace for a year, a week, mm-hmm. or 10 years. It's really about the legacy, and the legacy is a path that you create as you interact with people. So, you know, part of the self-improvement and the performance is all about, you know, when I'm done this work or I finish this mission, what do I want to leave as my legacy? My kind of, I call it my story,
mm-hmm, right,
that I've created with every interaction that I've had with people. And so it just seems appropriate to talk about something like that. Because, you know, it's interesting when you reflect. Many great people have come along, but their legacies have not always been as great as their accomplishments.
Let's make that distinction. Interesting distinction, yeah.
Well, think about it. Some people are known as brilliant marketers or product development people, but not very nice people to work with
right.
or work for. And so it's that, you know, what do I want people to say about me? Not only when I'm, you know, when I move on to something else, but how about just after they interact with me?
And in fact, what you're saying is it isn't the what we do necessarily people remember, it's the how we do it.
It's always the how. In fact, it's the how that can overwhelm the what.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't continue the path of, you know, self-improvement, self-reflection, and not rationalize things. So I was thinking about some of the legacies that people left. And it was kind of interesting. One person, I'll just use an experience, I'm sure you have some, but one person who I remember very well worked at a company where I did. When he moved on to another opportunity, people would talk about working with him and say, yeah, he always ate fast food. Now, isn't that interesting? And he ran a multi-million dollar sales business. Another person who moved on, and here's the dichotomy. People said, you know what? He was so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another person. She was so, didn't always agree with what they wanted to do, but I was always inspired by that individual. That's the legacy that I believe many of us who are working or, you know, teaching in any profession or vocation would like to have people remember us by, when that's leveraging your strengths.
But you know, Lynn, if you think about it many times, though, what we get recognized and rewarded for is getting results, right? And yet what really lingers behind is how we went about doing it.
Correct. So, and eroding our legacy or what we want to stand for as a person, because a legacy isn't a place, it's who we are. The kind of things we do, which we've talked about before, is this is another instance where rationalization comes in. Well, you know, it would have gone better there, but it wasn't my fault.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They didn't like me or they didn't want to do it. Versus, what messages did I leave? You know, and for every single interaction, there's a message or an impact. Am I really thinking about that? Because at times, one of the greatest rationalization when I interact with senior people, personally or professionally, is, well, that's the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And people just have to accept that. But I wonder at times, and many times ask, but that is that what you want them to remember you by? And very often, it's kind of a pause, and it's like, well, they just don't know me well. Well, that's part of the legacy also, which is not only working on yourself, but being authentic with people and intentional with people. I think in business, when we enter culture, sometimes that does push against our legacy, doesn't it? Because there's certain culture and certain things are rewarded or expected. But look through your whole career. Is there anybody you ever really admired who kind of walked their own path while being respectful of a legacy?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I was having lunch yesterday with a client of mine, because this falls right on top of the subject, and he was talking about some real brutal decisions he had to be involved in. Of course, like many leaders do this day and age of paring back the number of employees and doing a major layoff. And it wasn't that he hadn't done that before. He was fine with that. He had to do that for the sake of the business and do it in a compassionate and uplifting way. But the fact of the matter was that the fundamental values and beliefs as to how those around him were executing this layoff was totally contrary to where he was, in fact, including his boss. And they even rushed to do this within a 2-week time frame from the decision point to walking people out the door. And he said he finally had to step back and realize when it got back to him that someone had viewed him as the Ice King, which he never had seen himself in that role before, that he said, wait a minute, this is really running contrary to who I am. And so, you know, we would call part of this our reputation, but now then how could he recover from this? But really what got to him is where he was in his own heart, right, where he was centered throughout all this, and he was in conflict.
Absolutely. Well, that's pushing against values and what you want the legacy to be and how you want to, you know, kind of follow this path through your career and your life. You know, I think you're right. You're absolutely right that we all face tough decisions, no matter what they are. They can go against our values. The values and decisions are two different things. So you can choose to, and usually do need to, if you want to stay employed, follow the decision. But I do believe part of your legacy and your interpersonal effectiveness can be, can I stay true to myself while I do it? Because every separation doesn't have to be cold and heartless. In that interaction, many times we're protecting ourselves versus the people who are being impacted.
That's right.
So, you know, having been in that situation throughout my career, it is amazing what a little compassion and a little engagement and letting people see that it is tough for you can do for everybody. So they know it's not that you didn't want me. It's one of those decisions that I'm caught up in.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the legacy, I still believe very strongly, and I've seen it, Zara, and I'm sure you have also, is you can respect a culture, but you can stay authentic to yourself. Mm-hmm. You can still follow the decisions that have to be made. The question is, how do you want to be remembered through that decision? And a legacy is bigger than the interaction. It's, once again, after whatever amount of time it is that you're in that environment, and the time comes where you've made a decision to go on to something else within the same company or some, you know, another company, or maybe you're retiring. That moment, there is a moment of self-reflection. As somebody who's retired from corporate at least a couple times, that moment of self-reflection I hope for everybody, if they take a moment to reflect on it, will be one that's rewarding and authentic.
Well, and in fact, what you're talking about many times is what you do in those closing days before you exit, or as I often say, you enter into something new. Those are oftentimes the things that stick the most. For example, the thank you notes that you might write. As we know, when we wrap up a big team project, if you do it in a celebratory way, even if it was tough pulling things through the knots with a pizza party or, you know, a small gift or a recognition, that sometimes that really is what people remember, not necessarily all those tougher 24/7s you had to do to pull things through the knot hole.
Right, exactly. The irony is, and, you know, once again, at this time of year, because it's review time, it's setting new goals and objectives, and it's working on our business and ourselves, the legacy builds up over time.
Mm-hmm, right.
And so it's really, for every interaction, it's are you being self-aware? Are you managing yourself? Are you being the most effective you can be and calling yourself to task in the spirit of, you know, I could have done that better. And once you begin recognizing that, you can actually start developing the legacy that you want. So after 26 years with the company myself, I still keep in contact with a number of people I worked with directly or, you know, managed the team or just engaged in business with. And I think their comments are pretty consistent about how they remember me. And the best thing after, you know, 35 years, 40 years of working in corporate is that it's what I wanted.
Yeah, that's really,
really
nice. It's really what you're okay with. Now, the other thing, though, is sometimes for people, that takes courage to just ask for that basic question for feedback, right? I mean, because someone might tell you, indeed, like this one gentleman was told after he went out to validate, he says, do you think it's true that I really am the Ice King? And two or three people said, well, yeah, in this situation, that's really how it came down. And so now the steps he wants to put in place to, you know, you can't erase the tape, so to speak, but certainly guide in an authentic way people's understanding, perhaps your other motivations or what it was, but still own up to what you had to do, right?
Right. So the irony in life is you can't erase the tape, but you can definitely tape over it. So you can start to kind of nurture the legacy. I don't know if I would have chosen the one that was given to me, tough but very fair, and stood up for the team. But that's why I say it is kind of what I wanted, and I'm okay with it. But it's not as if I wrote that tape without any bumps in the road or without any need to rewrite that tape. And so at times when we start to make tough decisions or face tough issues, even about ourselves, we put up the barriers. And barriers, by their very nature, prohibit our ability to really hear what's being said to us or the feedback we're getting. The irony about feedback is people often want to offer it when the individual isn't ready.
Right. Yeah.
But the self-reflection that I hear your client making says, yeah, I'm curious about this. I'm open to it. And that's one of the ironies about, you know, effectiveness and performance. Feedback comes at you all the time. It's okay to say to people, you know what, I am interested in the topic. I just can't engage in it right now. All right? I'm not ready for it. Could we set up a time to talk about it when I can be fully engaged? That allows you to really think through it and say, you know, I'm okay. A lot of the feedback that's coming to people this time of year is very disruptive to them,
right,
and to their business because they're surprised. Surprise is only a disconnect between intent and in other words, the intent of the person and what others are seeing. That's a gap. Gaps can be closed. And that's the whole point. Every single day either builds or erodes the legacy that you want to leave. And if it's not in line with who you believe you are, then you just need to close the gap. You need to rewrite a little bit get some information and move forward.
Well, I think we do have to be careful, though, sometimes. Those who are giving us feedback may be a bit motivated. In other words, they might be carrying their own misgivings, or they've got, maybe as strong as a vendetta or something else to impose. So part of it is, as you and I have always talked about, too, is be mindful of, you know, who you've got on your committee, whether that be in your head or those you surround you with. And if it needs to get a greater sampling of people to verify what someone might have said, to go after that.
Yes, exactly. That's closing the gap. Because, you know, as I look back, although I resisted some feedback, even with the intent where I didn't feel it was supportive, there's still a kernel of truth.
Truth, yeah.
There's something that they're trying to say, and it's very hard to hear because, you know, you realize they may not be the most pure. They may have an agenda. But my conversation with people usually centers around, but are you hearing themes? So no matter what the intent is, if you're hearing themes and they're not what you want part of your legacy to be, after all the hard work and the time we're away from family and everything else, then think about it. And if there's a gap, work on closing the gap. Not changing, just closing the gap.
And by closing the gap, you mean to be really self-aware and know that in certain circumstances, it may call upon you to be a different type of person, but still not forego who you really are.
Right. It requires some refinement. Closing the gap is between what I intend, in other words, my intent, who I really believe I am, and the feedback I'm getting that may be off track for that, where I say, that's not me, or that's not who I want to be. That's the gap. And all work in leadership or running a business or for any of us in relationships are closing gaps. Gaps between who I believe my authentic self is and the person that people are seeing.
Well, you know, that does come to a challenge, though, Lynn, because this idea of who my authentic self is, of course, one of the biggest challenges, but is that society pushes us to be a certain way. So, for example, those that are in sizable leadership responsible positions like you and I have been, that there's an expectation, or at least there used to be, that you couldn't show a softer side, or that your emotions had to be something that you might, you know, cage. And I think more and more studies are showing that no, that makes you less, you know, effective with people who are really trying to understand you as a human being so they can follow you.
One of the ironies of work. It really is. One of the ironies of leadership. And that's what I mean by the culture. The culture kind of sets the tone for this is what's okay, this is what is not okay. I still believe that within that context that you can still be authentic while being respectful of the culture and saying, I hear you, and every great strength has a fine line, right? That
absolutely,
if you cross over, starts to become a weakness. So sometimes, you know, you'll hear people saying, well, I tend to get emotional. That's who I am. Some of that can be very inspiring to people. The question is, do you cross the line? Then it becomes intimidating or abusive. And so, you know, the personal insight, it's really, okay, one of these days, whenever you leave, whatever it is you're going to leave, mm-hmm. when you walk out the door, there's really two groups there for you, friends and family. The rest, you've left a legacy.
Yeah,
my challenge to everybody is it the one you wanted to leave?
Mm-hmm. And also what many people find is once they've stepped out of a situation where they've been there a long time, that those who they thought were their friends or their support group become something totally different when you're on the other side of it. So as you said, when you mm-hmm. step to the broader group that you're part of, your family, your other business associations, your network, whatever, that's when you suddenly get a real crystal view of things.
Correct. You know, it's fascinating. You know, this is why, and you and I have talked about this, why we do some of the work we do, because organizations and leadership are fascinating areas to work in. And I just did a certification program in Hogan Suites, and that's, you know, other assessments looking at how we, you know, our personality profiles and our behavior. And I had to take the assessments and have a debrief. And sure enough, here were three areas that were not unfamiliar to me at all that showed as very high, very important for me. And in life, or, well, not so much in life, but maybe, but definitely in career, could have been derailers.
Mm-hmm.
And the feedback coach said to me, did you ever hear this? I said, oh, yeah. And he said, but you've built these other areas, so it looks like there was a balance. And I thought to myself, you know what? We are still who we are, Zara. At the end of the day, we are who we are.
And particularly if we want
to bring in.
Yeah, particularly if we want to be healthy. Because if we start caging back too much of who we really are, then that's not a healthy or productive situation. You know, it's the data you can run from, but you can't hide, is what we'd say.
That's right. So you just have to work on bringing other strengths in that help you temper those potential areas that could potentially, won't necessarily be, a derailer. And when you start to make that movement, that's when I believe you start to create a very powerful personal legacy.
And you know,
at
Lynn,
the end of the day, I walked my path.
You bet. You walked your path. You know, you've raised an interesting opportunity, I think, for those of us that are in the position of doing performance reviews and assessment with people on an annual basis. I wonder what it would look like if we included that conversation, a whole portion on, so let's talk about your legacy. You know, we often talk about this is how you met your objectives for the year. Here's your leadership competencies that you might want to improve. Here's your personal development plan, what kind of courses or cross-functional assignment we should get you next year. And do we ever stop and say, and oh, by the way, let's talk about your legacy? Because some of that might feel too much like, uh-oh, are you like planning to have me leave? Or am I thinking I'm moving on? But I think touching in with that would be a very contemporary suggestion to all of us, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm hoping so. Remember, I look at performance in four quadrants. There's the objectives that are tied into the operating plan. There's a job description that could stay the same for 30 years.
You bet.
Just the type of job you hold. And the big area that I believe is the least explored is the how.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that is, how do you get things done? How do you interact with people? And how are you developing a legacy within the business? What are you becoming known for? Which is why I also do a lot of work and presentations around developing your personal leadership brand, which is, we've talked about, identifying those attributes that you want. It's not separate. It's actually part of a very high-level approach to effective leadership and high performance of an organization and its leader.
Right on. So
how where people fall out of sync.
You bet, and are actually not nearly as aware. Well, Lynn, thank you so much, as always. A great capstone segment that ties back to our other ones. For those of you who'd like to learn more about Lynn's work, you can go to azc3.com and learn about her coaching and consulting work. And Lynn, have a happy Halloween weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thank
Bye.
You.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.